Instant Illumination, My World. This is Dr. Herbert O'Reilly, Dean of the University of Healing, University of Philosophy here in Campo, California, with Instant Illumination, My World. All of us would like to live in a world which is filled with harmony and peace and right action. We'd all like to live in a world that is filled with abundance and health and joy. We'd like to live in a world that has every possibly desirable thing fulfilled for each of us. We'd like to live in a world that is absolute peace. We watched a movie last night called Cocoon 2, and quite an interesting movie. Cocoon 1 was charming. It was about people from another planet coming back to pick up some bodies that they left in some cocoons under the water after the fall of Atlantis. And they were successful in coming back, but the thing is, things happened and they had to abort the trip. So now, here it is 5 years later. And these 5 years later had brought many changes. And the people who came back were excellent people. They were looking to pick up their friends who were left behind in the cocoons that were under the ocean, on the ocean floor. And they had to pick them up, they were told, because there was supposed to be some violent earthquake underneath the ocean, which would disturb the cocoons. So, in the process, some people who had been on Earth and had gone to this other planet with these people came back with them. They're 5 years older, and they had gone to this other planet. And on this other planet, they had experienced perfect health, perfect relationships, harmony, peace, right action, truth, abundance, everything that their heart could possibly desire, everything that was ever in their thought was revealed to them. Now, you would think that if that were the truth, who would want to come back? Who would want to return from paradise to Earth, where you have all these emotions that are upset and uptighting people? Well, it seems as though these three couples wanted to come back because they felt that with their beautiful attitude toward life and their healthy bodies and their healthy minds, that when they came back to Earth for just a 3 day stay or 4 day stay, that everything would be in perfect order. So they came back. And when they came back, the illnesses that they had had on Earth, which were going to decimate them because they were aged people, began to play havoc again with their bodies. They had not received a spiritual healing on this other planet. All they did was to be placed into what you might call an ideal situation. To be placed in an ideal situation of perfection. As long as they stayed in this ideal situation of perfection, they experienced perfection. As long as they stayed in the attitude of perfection, they had perfect bodies, perfect minds, perfect attitudes, perfect everything. As long as they stayed in this land of paradise, where every thought was a thought of positive beauty and goodness and wholeness and peace, that's what they experienced. These people, living in this other dimension, live there in perfect harmony. But they're like Jonathan Livingston Seagull. When he went into heaven, he said to his mentor, he said, Sully, where is everyone? I thought heaven would be flocked with seagulls. And he didn't realize that he carried with him that which he was on Earth, a caring, interesting, happy seagull who was interested in himself and others. And so, as long as he had that attitude in his heaven, or in heaven, then he was not in heaven. because he had a desire that he couldn't fulfill. Now, you would think that in heaven, you could have every desire fulfilled. So in heaven, you say to yourself, all the seagulls on earth can fly and do all the beautiful things that I would have taught them to do. And now, poof, just like that. Well, that's not the way you create yourself thinking about what goes on earth. You create yourself thinking that on earth you have to go through these experiences. You have to have these challenging experiences so that you will find your values, so that you live by your values, so your values will be who you are. And it brought to my attention in the movie that these people went into nightclubs and they were drinking and enjoying the nightclubs and having a good time. And as we, the guests listening to the movie, were taken into the nightclub, the sound was very raucous and just unbearable. And there was just a frivolity, a lack of control, a lack of peace. That's the word. There was no peace. In these nightclubs, there was no peace. Only when a person got stoned, got drunk, got out of his gourd, then he was at peace. But of course, he wasn't at peace, because he has the time of waking up and paying the piper and having that hangover. Well, I thought to myself, it takes a very special person to work in a nightclub. It takes a very special person to work in a casino, to work in a place where there's constant noise. Constant noise. We went to dinner with our friend Bill Ellsworth the other night, who was 89 years old. And we went to the Golden Acorn Casino near Boulevard. And we had a lovely dinner there. But in the room, the noise was so unbearable that it was unpleasant. We could not speak with one another. And the room had done nothing to shield the noise. There were no dead stoppers in the ceiling of the room, as there are in any good restaurant, to keep the noise from reverberating. The noise just reverberated and reverberated every coming out of the casino into the restaurant and the restaurant into the casino. And I thought, as I observed that, this was done purposely. People go to the casino because they want this clatter, clatter, bang, 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 clatter, clatter, drink, drink, talk, talk, you know, and pull the wheel, pull the wheel, pull the wheel, the one-armed bandit, you know, just away, away, away. They want that noise. Now, people who go to a nightclub, they want the loud music that's being played there, and they're dancing to the loud music, and they're dancing. It's not a ballroom dancing where it's a gentle, peaceful, harmonious dancing, as can dancing be, but it was a loud nightclub dancing where you want to forget the world, you want to forget everything, and you want to just go and be out of your gourd. Well, our friends who in Cocoon, who had gone into this land of absolute peace, and then they returned to the normal human earth, when they went into the land of absolute peace, they were not at peace. And the reason they were not at peace was because they still had longings for earth. They still had longings for their children, for the everyday family, for the life that they knew it. And also, they longed to come back and show off what they could do with their wonderful bodies. Well, they did. They showed off. And in the process, they made problems for themselves. Now, we here at the University of Healing, the Absolute Monastery, we live in that other dimension. We live in that other planet. Here, it is absolute peace. It is absolute purity of consciousness, absolute wholeness, absolute right action. And every person who comes here to the campus of the University of Healing either leaves outside the negativity that they had, which disturbed them, or they bring it with them. If they bring with them their negativity, they will never find peace here, because they still have that inside of themselves. If they can release the past, let go the past, and live in the unconditionally loving now, then they'll have it. Our friends from Cocoon 2 and 1, if they could have realized that what they were experiencing was a state of mind. They were experiencing a state of mind, and that transcended into the state of body and the state of affairs. But it was a state of mind. And this state of mind that they were experiencing was a state of mind of peace, of purity, of right action, returning to our original purity and integrity. They had that state of attitude about themselves. It's quite glorious. But because they would not play the game that had to be played, forget the past. Let go of the past. Live in the now. And unconditionally love themselves in the now. You see, so long as you have a past, so long as you worship your family or delight in your family or concern yourself about your family, so long as you concern yourself about yourself, then you are not, nor can you ever be, in paradise. You are in paradise right now. That is a definite statement. You are in paradise right now. But you cannot recognize that you're in paradise so long as you have the old story turned on in your consciousness. So long as you're tuned in to the idea that you have a mother and father, sisters and brothers, you have family, you have people that you're working with, you have other people, so long as you recognize there's another being on the face of the earth other than yourself, you are not in paradise. To be in paradise means that you let go of everything, everything. And this is what I tell people who come to the university here, who come to the School of the Master, who come to any of our programs. Are you willing to let go of the past? Now, it's not that I want you to do something you don't want to do. I want you to do something you want to do. Do you want to let go of the past? Do you want to live in the now? You are living in the now anyhow. But you keep bringing up the past and making the past a now. And every time you bring up the past, make the past the now, then you're living in the now, in the past. You're reverberating it, revitalizing it. You're bringing it back into your life. And what a shame. This is what the people in Cocoon did. They kept bringing it back. They went back to see their grandson. And their grandson was a stable kid. He was able to recognize that there are extraterrestrial beings and things like that, and he was not shook up by it, and he recognized that his grandpa and grandma could go away for off to another planet and still be alive, and the mother couldn't, because she lived in the remembrance of who they were. Now, the grandfather was teaching the boy about playing baseball. And he's teaching the boy, so long as you have an attitude in your mind that you are incapable of doing something, you are incapable of doing it. So long as you have the attitude in your mind that you want to hit the ball someplace, then you're in trouble. What you want to do is see your bat and the ball joining hands together. Bang! And this is what Tiger Woods does as he plays golf. This is what tennis players do. This is a standard procedure, but very seldom do coaches teach their students this. They want to teach them the skill and the art of holding the racket and holding the bat and holding the club. And this is, unfortunately, going back into the past. If you live in the now, you want that ball to hit that bat or that bat to hit that ball, and you want it now. And then once it's hit, then where do you visualize it's going? You visualize it's going right to where you want it to go. But first, you have to visualize that you hit the ball with your club, your bat, your racket, whatever it is. And as you do that, then you are living in the now. But until then, you're living in the past. You're living in this the future. You're living in not the present, not the instant moment now. And this is what we teach here at the University of Healing. This is the story that Cocoon would like to have portrayed to the people. Because it portrayed to the people that they brought with them the past. If they could have lived in the present, if they could have lived in the vibrance of who they were, they could have had it all and had it wonderfully. You who say that you would like to live in paradise, who say you'd like to be your master self, you say you'd like to be your divine self, will never be your divine self so long as you need to hold on to the past. So long as you need to hold on to a mother and father, sisters and brothers of family. So long as you need to hold on to something to give you stability. You see, this is what we call sanity. And insanity is so beautiful. This is what we call sanity. Sanity is when you can hold on to something. You can hold on to a family. You can hold on to a desire. You can hold on to a dream. Insanity is living the dream. Yes. When a person's insane, as we understand it, they are living their dream. They are off in their la-la land, as we call it, which is a land that we don't understand because it's a land where dreams are reality. In their mind, they're living in that reality. Now, true, we do not see them living in that reality. But do we ever see reality? So long as we're living in the illusions of the world, we will not live in reality. Because the illusions will demand our attention, they will demand our awareness, they will demand our reality. They will demand our thinking that all things have to be done in a certain way. And how sad that is. Because all things do not have to be done in a certain way. In fact, nothing has to be done in a certain way. In fact, there will never be a manifestation on the face of this earth. There will only be a revelation. Because you're not manifesting something out of nothing. You are revealing, if you will, something out of nothing. It already is. It is a concept. It is a reality in its absolute self, and all we are doing is revealing it. And this is what perhaps our people who are mentally unbalanced have done. They have begun to live in that revelation. When a man takes gypsum weed and pulls it out of the ground, gets it into his hands, and then he's standing there, and he feels that he can leap off of a cliff that he's standing at and fly, because the gypsum weed makes him feel that he has this ability. Well, now, he can. He can truly do that. But there is a part of him that says you can't. There's a part of you that says you are a human being, that you have so many pounds of weight. You have so much gravity pulling upon you. Mm-hmm. There's a part of you that says all these things. But when you can dispose of that part of you that tells you you're human, oh boy, that tells you that you are subject to the human weights and balances of the universe, then imagine what would happen to you. Imagine. Do you believe that you can levitate, that you can teleport? Do you believe that you can move from space to space in an instant, or in a sub-instant, without any time at all, and take your body with you? Do you believe? Lots of things do you believe in, and yes, you do. But why don't you experience them? You know they're true, but you don't experience them because you cannot let go of your past visualizations. You cannot let go of your past ideas that you have a physical body, that your physical body is subject to these physical activities. Now, we've already looked at just that one little silly illustration of walking on fire, you know, and that's so contrary to the physical illustration, to the physical reality. You cannot walk on fire. You burn yourself. But You can walk on fire when you call it by another name. And we can teleport and levitate, and we can live on any dimensions and every dimension as we are doing now, when we change our attitude, we change our definition of what we are. Our definition of who we are right now is that we're a human being. We're subject to all the activities of a human being. But I would have you go crazy with me and say you're divine.
Ah!
Yes, say you're divine.
I'm divine.
I'm divine.
And what happens when you say you're divine? Then you are looking at a different parameter for your thinking system for yourself. You're no longer looking at the human thinking system. You're looking at the divine thinking system. And the divine is the absolute, and the absolute is the all. Well, as you can see, we have a never-ending task here of sharing this idea. But this is something for you to think about. As each one of you access the awareness within you that you are divine, then we will not see you, we who are human. You will be here, and you'll be doing your thing, and you'll be having loads of fun. You'll be doing whatever you choose to do, unlimited, unpossessed, you know, one-pointed, non-judgmental, untouched. You'll be absolutely there, but we won't know it unless we too are that way. So a master only sees another master. So when you decide that it's important enough for you that you can let go of the past, you can let go of everything that exists, and you're just number one, you're the only one, and you're here as a spiritual reality, there is none other, then you got it made. But of course, who can do that? Thousands do it. Thousands, millions do that every single day. And you don't know about it because you haven't done it. Now, the moment you do it, you'll say, oh, that's where all you guys went. Hi, you know, no possession, no nothing. But, hi, Mom, hi, Dad, you know. What happened to my brother? Oh, he didn't quite make it. He's in the limbo there. He can't decide whether he's human or divine. Oh, poor kid. Yeah. And you see, it's like our friend Mary. She said that her sister had come from a background that was traditional and fundamental, but she didn't have to change her fundamental background or other things. All she had to do was to become aware of principle, and that principle is never changing. And when you become aware of principle never changing, you don't run away from your background. You don't run away from your relatives. You don't run away from your world. You don't want to run away from anything. You now are on a new awareness. And everything you see from the new awareness, without possession, without the feeling of judging it in any way, that they're right, they're wrong. Oh, come on, you ought to get on board here. Come on, get on board this wonderful area of divinity. Come on, you know, it's great, the water's fine, you know. But the thing is, you don't say that. Because if you see them, you see them in their divinity. And if you are divine, and if you're not divine and you're human, you see them in their humanness. And then you see man's inhumanity to man, and you'll see all these other things. But really, anyone who wants to come to the University of Healing program, who wants to come to the monastery, who wants to be part of this program, they live in the now. They live in the now so completely that it's that, you know, Eckhart Tolle has written a book now, Living in the Now, and so forth. Beautiful books, beautiful concepts that he's presenting. Then he got himself spaced out, and he wrote a book on ecology. And how can you write a book about ecology if you're living in the now? If you're living in the now, there is no ecology. There is nothing to ecologize about. There's nothing to improve. There's nothing to change. There's nothing to work with. But you see, we slide back. We slide back. I mean, he was in the now attitude, but he was in the now intellectually, and he was in the now mentally and emotionally, but not spiritually. No. I'm not saying this is something negative about him. I mean, he's a super writer, super guy. Everything he has done is a quality, because he is a tremendously intellectual person. But the practice of it, the practice of it is what we teach. As our friend who has been in many monasteries said, he's been in many monasteries where they teach good things, but this was the first monastery he was ever in where they practiced it, where they practice what they teach. I think no one could make a more noble comment about a person than that they practice what they preach. They practice what they preach. They practice what they teach. So I say to you, Cocoon gave us a lot of good things to think about. It opened up our thinking in many areas. And what it opened up in the most beautiful way is that we keep going back into these things looking for the pleasure we once had. We go back and light a cigarette up thinking, gee, it'd be, remember, I used to like to smoke cigarettes, yuck, you know. I used to like to drink alcohol, yuck, you know. And, you know, as you leave these habits behind that would limit you or in any way inhibit you, as you leave them there and you go back to taste them again, yuck, why did I ever go in there in the first place, you know. And then you go away from it. And the wonderful thing about smoking gets into your lungs and messes your body up and does all these neat things to you. But if you stop, over the years, your body naturally cleans itself out. And the smoking council says, after so many years, it cleans itself 10%, 20%, 50%, you know. And whether it ever goes 100%, that's a good question. But the thing is, you return to your original purity and integrity. We can let go of the past. And as we let go of the past, then it stops being the present. And we start living in the now. And to live in the now, we live in whatever we say about ourselves. I am spiritually healed. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, body. I am whole and perfect in every way. I like me, I like me, I like me. I'm divine order, I'm peace. You see, these are not empty statements, but these are statements filled with power and filled with life and filled with joy and filled with great respect and experience for all of us. And this is what I would like each of you to have if you want it. And I'd like you to have it right now. Yeah. Let go of the past and live in the now. Live in the now. Be unconditionally loving of yourself and everything in your world. And just watch the magic that takes place for you. Have a lovely day and know that I love you. I love you.
I love you.